All right, it is time for another edition of the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. What's going on? It's Pat Steinberg here on Flames Talk, and we have got another great episode coming your way. If you listened into our first episode, you heard a great conversation with Mike Vernon. But fear not, that conversation with Mike Vernon is not done, as we're underway on the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles, brought to you by Cumming and Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. And yes, this week, as we finish off our conversation with Mike Vernon, we're going to hear some great stuff from the Hall of Fame Flames goaltender and 1989 Stanley Cup champion. And a reminder, all of our episodes are available on the Flames Talk podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll get to the conversation very shortly, but let's kick it off this week with This Week in Flames History, brought to you by Village Honda. And This Week in Flames History will always be known as the week the Flames traded Jerome Iginla. On March 27th, 2013, the Flames made one of the most significant trades in franchise history when they sent captain Jerome Iginla to the Pittsburgh Penguins, not the Boston Bruins, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, in exchange for a 2013 first-round pick and prospect forwards Kenny Agostino and Ben Hanowski. Now, that first-round pick would turn into Calgary kid Morgan Klimchuk. Unfortunately, though, between Klimchuk, Agostino, and Hanowski, they played just 27 games combined as members of the Flames. Hanowski led the way with 16, Agostino played 10, and Klimchuk played just the one. So unfortunately, the Jerome Iginla trade, which was so significant, didn't bear the type of fruit that you had hoped, but it was still a very significant day on March 27th of 2013, and that is This Week in Flames History, brought to you by Village Honda, your dealership for life in the Northwest Auto Mall. Okay, let's get right into it. Mike Vernon is one of the most recognizable Calgarians and one of the most recognizable members of the Calgary Flames. It's the Hockey Hall of Famer, Mike Vernon. It's Brent Cron, the fellow goalie, and it's 1989 Stanley Cup champion Colin Patterson. That's who's taking you through this conversation. We go all the way back to 1989 and that run to the Stanley Cup and that famous first round series against Vancouver, then went all the way to Game 7. Here's Mike Vernon with Brent Cron and Colin Patterson.
So that year you guys won the Stanley Cup, first round you played Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I remember that glove save on. Is it Stan Smeal that was the glove save?
Yeah. Well, you Tony Tanti.
Petri Skriko, too.
Petri Skriko had the best chance because it was a 2-on-0.
Yeah,
I think Jamie was on the ice for that one, too.
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
It was a 2-on-0, and I just tried to stretch my leg out as far, and I got a toe on it.
Yeah.
But he still had another couple feet. If it was inside the post, it was in.
Yeah.
But I got a toe on it, and anyway, it's just one of those things, luck.
Because Kirk McLean had a pretty good series. That
dude, oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Kirk was good. I remember that couple pad stack saves.
He went to the finals and played the Rangers and lost out to the Rangers. Yeah. No, Kirk was a good goaltender.
Great goalie.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah.
You and him would get along really well.
Yeah. I met him a handful of times. Super nice. Don't know him at all.
Yeah.
But just getting, you know, shaking his hand, BS, and I had all the time in the world for him. He was a great dude.
Oh, yeah.
You had a lot of healthy competitions against him, though, too, eh?
Yeah. Oh, I had him. I had Fierzy, Moog.
Andy Moog was my goalie coach in Dallas. And Marty Turco was there, and I was giving him a hard time about teaching us the pad stack and one knee down and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Spent a lot of time with Marty.
Yeah.
He was a good goalie, too.
They had a great tandem up there in Edmonton with him and Fierzy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then they come and get Brantford when those guys were all gone, too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Holy geez.
Because they won the cup.
It was unreal.
They won a cup in 1990 against Boston in the final. Moog was playing for the Bruins. And I remember Brantford was unreal that playoff series.
Yeah, and he was playing against Andy Moog.
Yeah.
He was with Boston.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. In the old Boston Garden where
they had the outage.
Power outage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot about that. You know, Vernie, well, both of you guys both played, too, in buildings that were. Like, now everything's uniform, everything's the same, cookie cutter, this, that, the other thing. You might be playing the odd in Buffalo, the Boston Garden, the Maple Leaf Gardens.
Chicago was the best.
Why was it the best?
Because it was the loudest stadium you ever played in.
You know what?
And you got dressed in the basement. You had to climb up the stairs.
Yeah.
And there was a gate at the back behind the net that was never, like, pucks would hit it and go out the front. But it was just, and all we used to say is, boys, we just got to weather the storm here. Yeah. The first 10 minutes, just weather the storm, hang in. If we're down one goal, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, just weather it. Because they used to come out just flying.
Well, you know, I remember Chicago, after you guys won the Stanley Cup in '89. Calgary's always my favorite team. Mike knows I got a Vernon jersey. My Patter jersey's on the way.
It's in the cleaners.
But I was a Blackhawks fan, right? And I love Wayne Mesmer, the national anthem singer for the Chicago Blackhawks. They would sing through the national anthem like crazy in the old Chicago Stadium. And I just remember that building on TV watching it when they would air the games. I couldn't wait for the Blackhawks. It was just nuts. And all I wanted to do was play in Chicago. That truck horn, when they'd score on you, how loud was that?
Well, that was that air organ, because it was built in throughout the concrete.
Yeah.
You couldn't duplicate it.
No way.
Like, it was crazy.
It was a great spot to play.
So we played the All-Star game there. And I'm on the blue line for the anthem, and Doug Gilmore's
What year was that? Was it 93?
Like, whenever they had it.
It was like that was like when the Gulf War was going on. National
Anthem was on.
I remember watching that game. I watched it on YouTube. That national anthem, if you ever play it, gives you goosebumps. They were just yelling through the whole thing.
So Gilmore's right beside me.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to talk to him, and I can't even hear myself ask him a question.
Yeah.
That's how loud it was. It was nuts.
Holy smokes. I remember watching that. Like,
the worst rink ever, though?
Yeah.
Checker Dome in St. Louis. Oh, remember, we had to play playoffs. Oh my God. We were afraid if a wind came up, the whole thing would come down. It was so bad. The ice was awful. Yeah. Your gear couldn't dry because it was so humid.
Damp in there,
Remember, there's a fight in the crowd. We're lining up for a face-off, and everybody's watching. I go, oh, my God, these freaking guys are going at it. There's two ladies.
There was a fight in the third period.
Yeah.
The game's over. We're going out, and they're ushering them out in, like, in the ambulance on the gurney. They're, like, taking people out.
And these are St. Louis fans. Yeah. It wasn't like you had a ton of Flames fans.
Yeah, no kidding. They're just losing their mind.
Boston, there were fights in Boston, I remember, too.
That was great.
Joe Louis?
No. Nothing in Joe Louis. No. Joe Louis was a great rink.
Yeah. Fantastic. Best place on earth. How about the odd in Buffalo?
Oh, who doesn't love the odd?
I know. You're fond of that place, Pat.
What a dump.
Darren Poopa in net?
Poops.
Poops.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy. Great goalie.
Malarchuk was there.
Yeah, Clint.
Oh, yeah.
Mallard was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Maple Leaf?
Jersey was there.
Yeah, he was there. For sure.
Jersey and I played. We roomed together, too.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I had you and Jersey, man.
Oh, boy.
What a bunch of roommates.
Oh, man.
I had Donnie Edwards.
You had Donnie Edwards?
Yeah, I had Pingy.
Oh, jeez.
That's a long story, but yeah. Then Shaky DeMore, too.
Oh, Shaky LaRue.
Why'd you call him Shaky?
Why do you think?
Yeah.
Remember his hand in freaking shape like this? Oh, my God.
It was funny. I'd pick him up to go to practice some days. And obviously, he was out the night before or something like that. And
he'd have a
cigarette in his mouth, and the thing was going up and down. Yeah, like that.
He talked with the heater in?
He couldn't light it. And he goes, Bernie, freaking light the cigarette for me. The cigarette's going up and down. And he's like,
that's so good. That's so good.
Shaky DeMore, the reason we have water bottles on the back of the net today, we'll tell that story. I'm sure when I am a guest on here.
That's all.
But it became Shaky LaRue.
Yeah.
You know who LaRue is on the Saturday Night Live? Johnny Candy?
Oh,
and he's doing exercises
with the Bricks.
Second City.
Second
City? Yeah. But one of them.
John Candy character. I forget what his name is. But, no,
LaRue.
I know you.
Shaky LaRue.
He was LaRue.
That's so good.
Funny man.
That's so good.
And he has a bar now.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, Shaky's, it's called.
Is it in Hershey?
It's in Hershey.
Yeah. You were playing Hershey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm there the first time in that old barn.
Same building.
Still there?
Well, I think so, because we lost the Calder Cup final game 6 to Hershey Bears. And it looked like an old airplane hangar is what it looked like.
I'm standing there. Game's on and whatever. And it's like This side stands up. Great taste. The other side said, "Let's fill it." Yeah. And I'm like, "Oh my god, this is awesome!"
Great taste. Let's fill it. That's so great. Good.
Oh my god.
Oh no, that's so good.
And then they announce a dinner at whatever Golden Grill or something like that. You get a steak, and you get a baked potato, and you get a salad and a roll, and the crowd go. And a roll.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it's just classic.
That's so good. Oh, man, that's so good.
I love it. I just sit there and just laugh constantly.
That's so good. So back to your Stanley Cup win in playoffs. If we can go back to get it back on the rails here for 5 seconds. who did you play in the second? Who's the team you played in the second round?
L.A.
LA. You know, it all is the same. You remember, exactly, right?
You play them so often.
Yeah, right.
The blur.
Yeah.
And then Chicago.
And then Chicago.
I'll answer for Vernie on this. Yeah. And then we played Montreal.
I'm Montreal, yeah.
Yeah.
Game one of the Stanley Cup final. What do you remember? I mean, I know, you know, like you guys won and the last game where you had the potential to win, but it's nuts because, you know, people who are fans remember every single detail.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I mean, on a way lesser extent, but, like, people come up to me and say, remember this, remember that? I'm like, I have no clue. And, like, I grew up idolizing you and watching you play. And I'm like, I could sit here and just say, you know, never meet your idols, but I love you to death. And you sit here and it's like, I remember this, I remember this, I remember this, I remember this, I remember this. And it just it makes me chuckle because it was such a big deal for me. And then you, it's like, yeah, I don't know, we won Stanley Cup, you know, beat Patrick Waugh, and you know, I guess that's just what I did, and I can't remember this and can't remember that. But remember the day? How well did you sleep the night before you guys won the Stanley Cup? You probably slept like a baby, probably.
No, I sleep well. You train your whole life for this. Like even when you were playing junior and everything else, like I had a routine all the time, and that just was.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
Yeah.
You tinkered with it a bit and things like that. But no, you just look at it. It's the biggest stage and you want to be there. You work your whole life to get there.
Yeah.
So why turn it into a bad? Try to keep the same mentality.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
And I want to be here.
Yeah.
So let's go have fun.
Yeah.
And that was my attitude.
Well, for sure. Anyway. Well, it's crazy. It's like, you know, you can worry about it so much, it doesn't change the outcome, right? Yeah. You just go out there and just do it.
But back to your other rants you were getting on about people.
Yeah.
You don't remember this for any while. I've let in over 2,000 goals, and I don't remember all of them. Okay.
Yeah.
So someone comes up, Bernie, do you remember the goal I scored on you? No, because I let in like 2,000, and I tried to forget those.
Pick one. Well, so I got a question for you then. So you grew up in the city. You played junior in the city. You played the National Hockey League in the city. It's a small city. Compared to other cities you played in.
Yeah.
So what, when you go fill up gas, did the gas station attendant come out to you and say, hey, you got to keep your glove up, Vernie, or cover that five hole? Or like, how would that go for you?
Well, I remember one time we were in playoffs and I was at Willow Park and it was an off day.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to go play golf. I'm just going to go hit some balls.
Yeah.
And I get out there and people are like, why aren't you at practice? Why aren't you doing this? Why? And I'm like,
shut up. Yeah.
So back in those days, Al McGinnis lived a couple doors away from me. And basically, we couldn't even go out.
Yeah.
And then in 04, these guys are going out to the bars after the games.
Yeah.
And they're like, Bernie, why don't you come with us? I said, oh, no. I'll get blamed for it. I'm staying away from you boys.
No matter what happens.
No, thank you.
You didn't go out and it's still your fault.
Yeah, right. Like, I remember Al McGinnis and I after a game and his fiance, Jackie, would make us something to eat. We'd just go back to their place he'd come over to my place and we'll grab a bite to eat and we'll just have a couple beers and then just shut it down.
Yeah.
Like, but you know, for those guys were going out and it was like,
whoa, it was tough on you. Like being in the hometown.
Yeah.
Cause everybody, you know, as much as they wanted them, there's people who didn't want them.
Oh,
right?
For sure. Yeah. Oh, 100%. And that's the thing too. It's like, you're homegrown. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. And it's fantastic. You play for your home team, but there's a lot of people out there that are cheering against you too.
Yeah. Well, and I had my folks here too. And my brothers and sister, right? Yeah. So they had season tickets and you know, it was.
Well, they were getting grilled too, probably.
They were getting drilled and all that stuff. And I just said, you know what, guys? sell your season tickets. That's when you can get good money for them. And
yeah.
they did.
Yeah.
And I said, if you want to go to a game, I'll get you a ticket.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And that then...
I know a guy. Yeah.
I got traded eventually. But anyway, that was... It was tough on my family.
For sure.
Probably more so than on me.
Yeah.
And my friends,
too. Well, you don't hear...
Yeah. My friends would get upset.
Yeah.
And they're like going... Like, they're like ready to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And they're like... You have no idea.
Yeah.
But it was hard. But anyway, it forced me to become a better goalie, try to be a better goalie and just try to.
Well, because you're trying to, it's.
Do well.
But, yeah. But you want them to leave your family alone or your buddies alone. So you got to play well in order for them to leave you alone. Like I remember going to play when I was with the Hitmen, going to play against the Wheat Kings. And I grew up in Manitoba, right? So. My old man couldn't come watch. He couldn't sit in the building. And like it was not near your level, Vernie, but people in the stands would say, oh, yeah, this, that, and all this shouldn't. And I would never play well at home either, or in Brandon, sorry, because I was all, a bit nervous playing in front of the folks and whatever, wanted to do well. But I can't imagine that type of pressure. Because even when I was playing for the Hitmen here, I go fill up gas, my old Honda Accord, and the guy would come out and say, you got to watch your five. I'm like 2 years into playing for the Hitmen. And I'm like, well, yeah, cool, man. Awesome. We won the game, though. I don't know if you know this. We won the game 4-2. I was second star. Settle out, right?
Yeah, I like playing on the road.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if you guys realize it, but the goalies are the last line of defense. and if you guys let one in, everything's blamed on you.
Oh, right?
It's got nothing to do with it. But in the crowd, everybody's like, oh, couldn't make that save. And they don't realize, hey, if your family's down there, you know what? It takes a toll on
it's
you.
It's crazy. Like, I remember, too, when Grant Fuhr first retired, he would come on the ice with me. My first year with the Hitmen, he'd just come on or second year, I can't remember whatever it was. He'd come on every once in a while, nothing steady. And I'd always be like, Grant, what's some advice you can give me and this and that and the other thing? And he was just like, just go there, play hard, have fun, win the game,
He's easy going.
Yeah, just so easy going. He's like,
it's unreal.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I didn't say it like that, but I'm like, give me something Grant Fuhr, it's Mike Vernon, it's, Patrick Waugh. Like, these guys know everything, right? And he says, well, I always really appreciated, playing on the road. I really liked being away. And he says, when I was at home, I'd let in the bad one or two so the fans would start booing me so I could start getting my butt in gear. I mean, he's joking, of course, right? But it's takes a toll, right?
Yeah. It does. It's awful because he was so goddamn good.
It's Grant Fuhr.
And,
Fuhr's he's calling.
Yeah, Grant Fuhr.
You played against Patty Waugh a lot throughout your career, hey?
Yeah.
Like, the Stanley Cup, when you guys won the Stanley Cup there, right? You
played lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, lost one.
Well, when you got to Detroit, I remember you and I were having a conversation about this, and I think Osgood was playing most of the games, but Scotty Bowman was the head coach, and as good as Osgood was playing, he came to you, 10 games before the season was ended and said, hey, Vernie, you're my starter for the playoffs?
He said, you're well-rested now, you're going to play more, and you're going to be my guy.
And... what was it like? So, you got Crispy. We talked about him a little bit. Switching over to Scotty Bowman, how was that? How what kind of a coach was he for you?
Oh, you know what? Scotty was good. We called him Rain Man. But
watch the movie if you haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? He was good. He liked his veteran players because he could rely on them and things like that. Yeah. He liked... he didn't mind the young guys either, but, they assembled good teams in Detroit. And everybody says, oh, he's the best bench coach. Well, he coached in Montreal. The Red Wings. Yeah. That's pretty easy. He was in Buffalo for a while, but I don't think they won anything. And in Pittsburgh, he took over for Badger that the team was already in place.
Yeah.
So don't get me wrong. Nope. I'm not taking anything away from Scotty. No. He was a good coach. And it was funny. And I think I really believe this, that after he was with Badger got ill in Pittsburgh and Scotty came in and they would talk. And I think Badger wore off on him a bit.
Yeah.
He started to
positive wise
and just the way that Badger thought the game.
Yeah.
And so I think that was infectious a bit. And anyway, when I had him in Detroit, he was fine. He never, never checked for curfew.
Yeah.
Just ask you to work hard at practice. Power play penalty killing, we do full ice, sticks, everything. Don't turn your stick over. This is the way it is.
Yeah.
Everything was always at a high level, but we're on the ice for 45 minutes, an hour, and that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
And No, it's just he was just a good coach, but there's some great stories. Oh, my goodness. We're on the bench, and I'm standing beside him and Joe Louis. Sometimes I sit or I get up on and stand between the coaches and yeah. that. And Dave Lewis used to love it when I stood between him and Scotty Bowman. yeah, yeah. Louis and I would always. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Scotty, and there's this buzzing sound going on. What the hell?
Yeah.
And look at Scott. What's that? Yeah. Oh, Vernie, this is my worldwide pager. That's my buddy from Buffalo's trying to get in touch. The game is going off. And he's going like this.
Worldwide pager.
Oh, yeah. He was. There's just some hilarious stories with him. Chris Osgood and I remember one time we're in L.A. And he calls us. We're skating around. Calls both of us in. And he goes, you guys are both horse shit in L.A. Do I have to call up Kevin Hodson to play tonight? Osgood, you're playing tonight. Vernon, you got San Jose tomorrow. I'm going, yes! yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just stuff he would say. And yeah. then he would say something to you,
yeah.
and you go to reply, and he was already like this, gone.
He's gone. He's
you were talking
away.
To the back of his head. yeah. It was just, like, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, no, he was fine. And you know what? He never come to the back of the plane.
Yeah.
He just left us alone.
That's good.
And it was, because we got a
good team. We had a good team too, yeah.
And it was like, look, it was scary, but
yeah.
it was fun. It yeah. was like, I had a lot of fun playing there.
I bet.
Like, it was a good time.
What was fitness testing like in Detroit?
It was awesome.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
I go out to go for the run.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Are we doing a 5-mile run?
No.
You're a veteran. Beat it.
Yeah.
Oh, he yeah. goes, you get to do the 2-minute bike ride. We can get a good enough valuation from there. Oh, no, it was funny. Oh, it's so good. But they know you're in good shape.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It was crazy.
Oh, man. What was it like? You know, what kind of, you know, you've had some good leaders.
Lanny's calling. You got to pick him up at the airport, or yeah. you got to chauffeur him somewhere yeah, tonight.
Plus, I got to paint his house too. Yeah. So it's yeah. important. I'll be back in a minute.
Patters
a
Sherpa.
You know, obviously, you guys had Lanny in Calgary as a captain. Obviously, can't snap. What about Stevie Y when you played him in Detroit? What was he like?
Steve was good. He's a quiet leader.
Yep.
He led by example. He'd work hard. Him and Draper, they'd go.
Yeah.
They'd work out before, after. He was just, you know, yeah. He's calm. He'd had a temper on him a bit, but it was just, guys, we got to go.
Yeah.
And a little different situation because Lanny was the older statesman, and he had a bunch of these young guys. Yeah. Like, there was how many of us, Patter? 9 of us that were. 9 or 10 of us that are only had a year or two under our belt.
Yeah.
So it was Lanny had to do maybe a little more babysitting.
Yeah.
Where Stevie didn't have to.
For sure.
And it was like, it was good.
Yeah.
And I guess that first road trip we went on, I said to the boys, we're going over and we're going to have, I'm going to buy you all dinner.
Really?
Was in Arizona, I don't know, Ritz, or I don't know what steakhouse it was.
Yeah.
So we go and have a dinner, and it was good. It was an off day.
Yeah.
And Stevie goes, oh, my God, that was great. We had, all the boys got together. And we got 5 Russians. We got a couple Swedes. You know, we're all over, right? Yeah. We got a pretty mixed culture. And anyway, he said that was good, and I said, yeah. Well, guess what? You're buying dinner the next road trip. And then he's, absolutely, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then and then I'm trying to figure out, who am I going to get to buy the dinner next?
Yeah.
And I look over at the 5 Russians, and I'd like, oh, yeah. So I go over to the 5 Russians.
Fedorov, right?
Fetisov, Fedorov, Larionov.
Konstantinov?
Konstantinov and Kozlov.
Yeah.
So I said, guys, you're buying dinner. You split the bill.
Yeah.
But I want the best Russian restaurant in North America.
Yeah.
Well, that's easy, Vernie. That's L.A. I run and look at the schedule. I'm like, yes! We got a day off there.
Yeah.
And so we actually had a couple days off there. So we organized paintball. And we all went and got Army fatigues, North Americans against Europe's. So we had paintball. We come back, a few pops, come back. Everybody goes gets changed. And then we go down to the downtown or whatever to this Russian restaurant and have a great time.
Yeah.
And those guys were so proud.
I bet.
And they were so happy we did that.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of, and even after we won and at the end of the year, and Stevie's speech was, you know, the good thing about this team was we partied together.
Yep.
And played together.
Yep.
And that was kind of that was a good thing. It was fun.
Well, and when you've been on a team like that too, you know, like the good years that I had on teams I played on, it's the same thing. You partied and you played, yeah. Right? And then
you the other guy, right?
For sure. But then on the flip side, you also knew very quickly was the team was divided. If you were in certain seasons where it was like these guys don't get along, this guy doesn't get along, everything's kind of separated, split up, you know, whatever. And
we're getting treated like Lanny.
Oh
here.
Man, this is.
I thought he was on first.
yeah. With the little triangle sandwich.
Thought he was on first.
Yeah,
you're here.
The old triangle sandwiches are coming at 2:30 when Lanny shows up, right? that's awesome.
Where's the real Flames?
All right, we're just getting going with this week's conversation with Hockey Hall of Fame goaltender and Flames alumni Mike Vernon as we continue along. And it is time for Flames Trivia on this week's episode. Flames Trivia brought to you by OSY Rentals. Make the best use of your oil field production budget. OSY's Vapor Tight package comes with everything required downstream of the wellhead. Call 1-855-OSY-TANK. And it is another Mike Vernon-themed trivia question this week, and let's get right into it. Mike Vernon was traded to the Detroit Red Wings on June 29th of 1994, where, of course, he'd go on to win his second Stanley Cup less than 3 years later. So, in late June of 1994, when the Flames sent Mike Vernon to Detroit, who did they get in return? Who did the Flames get in return in 1994 when they sent Mike Vernon to the Red Wings? Give you a few seconds to think about it right now. And I think that's a good amount of time. The correct answer, Steve Chiasson, was who the Flames got in return. Chiasson would go on to play 168 games with the Flames over parts of 3 seasons. And, of course, Steve tragically passed away in a car accident in May of 1999. But, yes, Mike Vernon was traded for Steve Chiasson on June 29th of 1994. And that is Flames Trivia this week, brought to you by OSY Rentals. Okay, we've got more with Mike Vernon as we continue along on this week's episode. It's the Cumming & Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. Cumming & Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. Stay with us as we continue along. All right, welcome back to the program. It's the Cumming & Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. Cumming & Gillespie LLP, your personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. My name is Pat Steinberg as we're continuing to bring you a great chat with Flames Hall of Famer and Stanley Cup champion Mike Vernon. And back to the conversation with Mike, Brent Cron, and Colin Patterson here very shortly. But first, it's time for Where Are They Now? Brought to you by Pure Chem Services. And today we're focusing in on one of the legends. Yeah, we're focusing in on Håkan Lube, who is one of Sweden's most accomplished ever NHL players. Born back in 1960, he started for Färjestad before joining the Flames in 1983. And during that 87-88 season, Lube became the first and still only Swedish player to record 50 goals in an NHL season. He won the cup with the Flames in 1989, then returned to Sweden, leading Färjestad to multiple club championships. Internationally, won gold with Sweden at the 1991 World Championships and then again at the 1994 Olympic Games. A member of the IIHF Hall of Fame, he remains a massive figure in Sweden as a player, executive, and ambassador. And today, Lube Lube lives in Karlstad with his wife Marie, and you can catch him as a color commentator on Swedish TV covering national team games and the World Juniors. Also hosts a weekly hockey special in Sweden and has his eyes on covering the 2026 Winter Olympic Games in Italy. Håkan Lube, the subject of this week's Where Are They Now? Brought to you by Pure Chem Services, the expertise to realize higher production and lower costs. Let's get right back into the conversation with Mike Vernon. He's chatting with Brent Cron and Colin Patterson, and let's continue in right now.
You know what? I was going to ask you, too. Like, you know, nowadays, everything is so... There's such specific training for players. Goalies, forwards, defensemen, everybody. Skating coaches, goalie coaches, mental coaches, everything. Did you get any of that? I mean, probably not early on when you started. Was there anything that came in afterward for you, Vernie, that like you had, you got to talk to people?
Oh, yeah. We got it. Potter and I got a really good story about that. I had a bit of a back injury, and I don't know what injury did you have?
I had knee injury.
Knee injury. So they decide to send us to this ballet teacher. Do you remember Peter?
Ballet?
Yeah. Oh, ballet. Yeah. And this gal, honest to God, looked like Terry Crisp. We were pissing ourselves laughing nonstop.
It was pretty funny.
Who else? Was it just you and I?
Yeah, it was just you and me.
Oh, my God, that was funny. So yeah, we did the demi plies and all that stuff.
You're not flexible, are you? Like you're like
Vernie is. Yeah. Vernie is.
Yeah. Patter couldn't touch his toes.
Really? Right?
Couldn't touch my knees.
Could you touch your elbows behind your back, Patter?
No.
Kidding. You wrap things up in Detroit. You were there for what, 3 seasons?
Yeah.
The Ilitch family's owned the Red Wings for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You used to get Little Caesar's pizza after the game.
Oh
man.
In between periods.
Oh. I remember being up a black ace with the Flames in 04, playing in Detroit. I think it was second round. Obviously, I wasn't playing. There's a guy named Kiprasov there. But I remember going down to the dressing room about 10 minutes left in the third period, and there'd be 30 pies sitting there. There'd be Hawaiian. There'd be cheese. There'd be pepperoni. There'd be whatever, meat love. Oh, it was so good. You could smell it from a mile away.
What was your choice, Cronin?
Oh, Hawaiian. All day long, right? But I didn't want to, you know, I'd take a bite or two. I'd take a couple ones right off the top, and then I'd take that pizza and I'd put it on the bottom so it looked like nothing had been touched, right? Because you couldn't get through everything. Well, I had to disguise it just to make sure I was actually paying attention to the game. Because those, I look forward to going there all the time because the pies were absolutely delicious.
So, Warmer's playing. I'm on the bench.
This is great.
And it's in the old Colisée in Quebec City. And we're... The spare goalie always stayed on the penalty box side and all that, right?
So you're not on the bench with the team. Neverland, yeah.
So I'm over there. Second period, for crying out loud. I think it was the second period, wasn't it?
It was.
And I go to the trainer. I'm like, go get me a couple of Seychelles and put mustard and relish on it.
And for anybody that doesn't speak French, hot dog. That's hot dog.
So I usually sit up by the right by the gate, and then I pull back behind the penalty box. And I'm just chowing down on the hot dog. Quebec scores. It's crispy. Got it. Yelling across the ice. Got it. And the guy, the trainer goes, the stick boy or whatever, goes, I think they want you.
I go,
just ignore them. Don't look.
Don't make eye contact. Yep.
A couple of boys come over banging on the glass. Bernie, for fuck's sake, in the net. And after they explain it, well, Bernie had mustard coming down his chin, lands on his shirt, on the red uniform, wipe it off, get out there. The boys get their act together, and we come back and win the game, and we're just howling. Like, boys are telling the story. Oh, yeah, go over to get Vernie. He's got mustard coming out of his face.
What, you need me? Huh? You got half a dog down the gullet?
That was one of Crispy's best ones when we came back in after the second. You know, he goes, you know, poor Rick Walmsley, you know, he sits there, he helps everybody, does all the. Finally gets in, and you guys are playing.
You let him down.
Garbage. You're just letting him down, you know. And Walmer goes, Crispy, listen, don't patronize me. Okay, don't do that. Yeah. And Crispy turns to me and goes, well, then stop a fucking puck.
Patronize you. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That was a classic.
That was great.
Yeah, that's so good. You always hear pranks and guys having a good time at each other's expense. You remember any stories in terms of guys screwing around with each other, like sawing stick blades in half or retaping them? Or
well, Gilmore was the worst. We're on the road. I think we were in Jersey at a rink. I don't know where we were, a practice rink. And I'm running late. And that son of a gun would get a scalpel.
Yeah.
And just start cutting the buttons a bit. So there's like a thread left.
Buttons on what?
On my shirt.
Yeah.
But he would do them all. And I'm running, trying to get dressed. Bing! Yeah. Next one, bing! Next one, bing! And it's like, oh, my God, all the, no buttons. Yeah. I'm coming flying out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was priceless. Who thinks of that shit?
I know.
Right?
You got too much time.
Yeah. He did a lot of stuff.
He was really good.
Yeah.
Any like freezing jeans or cutting laces or just kind of the standard old rigmarole of screwing around with guy stuff? Did you play with any? Like,
cutting a tie.
Yeah.
Shaving cream in the hair when you're falling asleep on the regular flights, right?
Yeah.
And you'd get the shaving cream and then you'd wake up and, oh, God, shaving cream everywhere.
If you had hair.
Yeah.
You were, well, you did back then.
I did. Thanks for recognizing that.
And then we'd play, like, we're sitting in airports for 3-4 hours some days. Someone brought, like, some thread.
Yeah.
Tie a $5
bill. Yeah,
on
yeah, yeah. Oh,
throw
yeah.
it out there. But you should see the people that chase that baby down.
Crazy.
People went nuts, eh? Yeah. And that was our entertainment.
Well, for sure. We did that.
A lot of them were our own guys.
Yeah. They're underpaid. They're up for negotiations. They're going to steal any five they can get, right?
You should see Patter go for that $5.
Yeah.
Only guy faster was odds. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. We did that. I mean, that's a standard gag, too, right? You'd be in the airport, layover, you're flying wherever, and you'd be there for 2 or 3 hours, and we'd grab a $20 bill or $50 bill, and you'd throw out some line on it. Like, who travels on the road with fishing line? You know what I mean?
Well, it was white thread.
Yeah, exactly.
Sewing kit.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And you'd have those little whatever.
There was a
Potter would get them in the hotel. And Marriott had them.
Yeah. Could I get some more thread, please? What do you need it for? Don't worry about it. And
and a roll?
Yeah. And it was so funny. We would do the exact same thing. And there was a guy, too. We were stuck there for 3 hours. And we were just getting people left, right. And so they'd bend over. They'd realize they'd been had. The whole terminal or whatever, the gate was in on it, too, because they saw what we were doing. And the one guy we'd fooled earlier was basically hiding behind a pillar. Waited for it, and he caught it, ran it, jumped on it, tackled it, and gave us the finger and walked away. But,
wow.
Yeah, he did a lot of dedication in there for
Foolish 20. Foolish fool.
What else? Yeah. We'd always throw in a dollar to whose bag was going to
come first. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of great things.
Yeah.
You play with any superstitious guys? Or were you superstitious?
Not really.
No? You don't strike me as a superstitious guy?
No.
Were there guys you played with where it was like one pad, this or?
Oh, yeah. There's guys you couldn't talk to. There's guys. I hear stories about Eddie Belfour.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, it's crazy stuff. But, no, I was pretty easy going.
Yep.
I would be I'd be a little more quiet when I played.
Yep.
And if I wasn't playing, I'd try to
loosen
talk
the room
a bit and go around and that. But, no, it was,
Did you open the gate, or did you sit there and watch when you're on the bench?
I'd open the gate or sit there, whatever. Yeah. Depends where, how the benches were. It didn't matter.
I don't think people understand that today. Like, there weren't four coaches
and
trainers. On the bench.
Yep.
It was like
two trainers, two coaches. And that's it.
Yep.
Or three coaches.
Well, and there was no offensive, defensive, who's running it was the head coach was running everything, and the assistant was there to kind of just, buffer and make sure everything was good and run the power play or penalty killer, whatever it was, right?
Yeah, it was a different world back then.
No kidding. One referee, too. Did you ever get away with stuff?
That was the best. That's when hockey was dirty.
Oh, yeah.
When ref turned and you'd hit a guy, stick a guy.
Yep.
You ever see highlights of Messier?
Yes.
Elbowing?
Yep. Oh, wow.
It was nasty.
Yep.
But there was guys that was It's crazy. Yeah. When he hit Nat?
Oh, yeah.
At the blue line?
Yeah. Rick Natras. Rick Natras.
Down, yeah. And he tried to get up, and he goes down, and he had to crawl to the bench to get up. He was Bambi legs, man.
Yeah.
Like it, yeah, those days were different times.
Any referee.
And you had to have tough guys on your team.
No kidding.
And we had a tough team.
Yeah.
They, you know,
lots Clip of tough guys.
Built a team that had, you know, we built a team to beat Edmonton. So you had to have tough guys. Mm-hmm. You had to have skilled guys. You had to have role player guys, everything. So, yeah, it's it was a whole different game back then.
It was. It was unbelievable. I mean, when you think about those days, right, the number of tough guys in each team, it was like, remember we used to play against the Norris Division?
Oh,
those guys, we used to call it the Chuck Norris Division.
Yeah.
Frank, they were so many tough guys. But it was, yeah, that's just the way the game was, right? But
you got to remember, too, we had guys that scored 50, five guys scored 50 goals on our team, right?
Holy smokes.
Joe Mullen, Noondike, Roberts, McDonald.
Yeah.
Who's the other? And
Mike Bullard.
We always had four or five guys that scored 50 goals.
Yeah.
And McGinnis and Suter with points. Like, it was just a different time, right?
Yeah. I love it. Like,
when you go back and watch the video, it's like, oh, my God, you're going back in time here, baby.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so slow.
Well, you know what's funny? Like during, you know, when everything was locked down or whatever, right? Like, and they put all those classic games on. My boy couldn't stop watching old-time hockey, right? And just loved every second of it. Was there a...
Yeah, my boys.
Yeah.
My wife decided to play Mahjong. Teachers all Mahjong.
Yeah.
And it was great because we'd cook, we'd play Mahjong.
Yeah.
And I'd have the TV on. It's like rerun. Oh, boys, here, we're playing a game.
Yeah.
And my boys would just give me the gears. Oh, my God, are you guys slow in this? There's no advertising on the boards or on the ice.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The ice isn't white. It's clear.
Advertising makes you look faster, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Throw that in.
They just used to rib me.
I bet. Well, you know what's funny, too? Like, when you have kids, it's so funny because I remember coming home when they were little. And they're like, "Daddy, why did you let in so many goals?" And I'm like, "Shut up! You know, you're all worked up for the game, and your kids are lipping you off when you get back." So your kids do the same, or probably not. Maybe I don't know.
No, well, I never.
Oh, yeah,
my kids. Were too young when I retired. Correct. We still had two kids after when I retired.
Yeah.
So.
No.
When hockey was, yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't around the rink or anything, right?
Yeah. Was there a referee that you could pick out of a lineup that gave you a hard time on the ice?
All of them.
All of them.
The best guy was Scampi.
Yeah.
He's a little line.
Ray Scampanella, right?
Yeah. Yep. And he was the best and the toughest. He was unreal. I liked him, but the refs, they had egos. Carey Fraser, his perfect hair.
Yeah, I was going to say great hair.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you can talk to some guys, but not a lot.
Yeah.
They were fragile.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the best of times. Mind you, I wouldn't want their job, but.
No.
It's, one day, Fraser was pissing me off so much. I had the puck and I fired it right at his head.
Yeah.
And he ducked. He goes, "That better not have been for me."
Yeah. No, it was too high.
Under my breath, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't think I could raise that high.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit him with the kneecaps.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. You leave Detroit, go to San Jose, was it? That was your next stop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had Big D there as coach.
Yeah, how was that? Because I know because
it was good. D was awesome. Yeah. It was, and the or Baxi, Paul Baxter too. But
you played with him too, right?
Yeah. But we had a good team there. It was sad to leave there because it was I got traded about 2.5 years into halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And I got traded, and Ragnarsson got traded, and I really – Steve Shields was playing a lot more.
Yeah.
But Daryl came up to me and he goes, "You know you're my guy, right?
Yeah.
You're my guy I'm going with in playoffs."
Yeah.
And I knew I was getting traded because obviously not those days your agent got involved and I had to get involved and things like that. So I'm in St. Louis, and it was funny because Tony Granato comes up to me. comes up and he goes, hey, boys, last supper for Vernie. We're going pregame. Let's go. And he didn't. It was just joking, right?
Yeah.
He didn't know what I knew because I knew it was, and I'm supposed to play.
Yeah.
And then Daryl calls me and he goes, I guess you know what's going on. I said, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm coming up to your room. Knocks on the door, comes in, sits down. He goes, I can't believe we're going into playoffs with a rookie goalie.
Yeah.
He's I just can't get over this. Dean Lombardi, I can't believe he's doing this.
Yeah.
And we had a really good team and I felt really good about it because it was my third year.
Yeah.
And it was when my third year when I was with Detroit, it was a good
yeah.
we won. So yeah. And I was well rested and everything. So anyway, I got traded. Unfortunate, but that's the way it goes.
Yeah. And then you were there and then you ended up in Florida?
Florida for the half a season and then I negotiating a contract with them and it was the summertime and I got traded to Minnesota. Doug Risebrough picks me up.
Your old buddy.
And I'm like, what is going on here? And then the next thing I know, I got traded to Calgary.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Lanny calls me and I'm like,
wow.
But anyway, that was that. And it was kind of, you know what, at that particular time, it probably wasn't the best thing for me.
Yeah.
But personally, my mother was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
So it allowed me to be here, spend more time.
Yeah.
She got out of hospice and lived another 11 months.
Wow.
Which was unreal. So that allowed me to spend more time with her and things like that. But it was, you know, they always said you want to retire in your hometown.
Yeah.
I didn't really want, but it, you didn't look back at it now and I'm like, I was fine with everything because I just, I had time with my mom.
Yeah, well, and you didn't have to sign a one-day contract to come back and sign as a flavor.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your agent, Lunchbox Larry.
Larry Kelly?
Yeah.
What about it?
Was he from the start, or how did that come?
No, I had Ed Chenault, who was my first agent out of junior, and then I had... what the heck? A French guy out of Montreal.
Jacques Cousteau.
I can't remember his name.
Let's just call him that.
Jacques Lemaire.
I can't remember his name right now, but anyway.
Jacques, a great agent.
I'm in Moncton, New Brunswick, and I'm like, everything's in French, eh? On the ticker, and I'm like, something about my agent being in France.
Yeah.
So I go to the rink, and Danny Bolduc, remember him?
Yeah, I remember
Danny. We had the same agent. He goes, Bernie, our agent had a heart attack and died in France. I'm like, oh, geez, really? So then I had, Kaminsky and him
Art
had an
Kaminsky,
agreement
yeah.
or something like that. But I'm like, not so easy there, gunpowder.
Yeah.
And it was
gunpowder.
So Tim Hunter and I, true story, Tim Hunter had the same agent too. And we hired Larry because he had him and I was rooming with him.
Yeah.
So I hired Larry. But before that, Tim Hunter and I had to go to the Court of Queen's Bench here in Alberta and, with Kaminsky. And the lawyer on the other side was Dean Lombardi.
No way.
Yeah, he was working. And I'm like going, and the judge was great and goes, no, this is a personal contract. You have no right for his contract. And yeah.
Wow.
Is that wild?
That's unbelievable.
And Dean Lombardi, we talk about it and everything. Oh, he goes, yeah, I'm the young guy on the block, and they just threw me out there, and, you know, typical, right?
It's crazy to think he ends up, right, where
yeah,
he ended
he
up.
Yeah, he was general manager and everything, and yeah. I actually got along really well with him. He was awesome, actually. And, and then Larry Kelly and was my agent all the way through.
Yeah. So, great guy.
Oh, awesome guy. Doug Gilmore's agent.
Yeah. What
Huntsie.
What percentage did you have to give him?
I signed a 3-year deal, give him $40,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was hourly or something guy.
His family owned a funeral home. He had a law firm, and he did this for a hobby.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. Pretty really.
He was out of Ottawa, right?
Yeah, he was out of Ottawa. Nice guy.
How'd they find you? Just because you were
playing. Well, I was with Tim Hunter at training camp, and I met him through Tim Hunter, and then I called him up one day. I'd like you to represent me, and that was it.
That was game over.
Yeah,
it's funny how that goes, right? Oh, within the league, you know, guys ask about guys, and then you throw a name out.
And then you finished your career off.
But the best story of all, is that where you were going with this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So.
Not just another pretty bald head in the room.
I'm here in Calgary a year before I got traded. I'm in a contract dispute. Dave King's the coach. I think I got 20 wins by Christmas or something. I'm playing well and the team's doing well. And so I get called. Larry comes in town and Doug Risebrough calls a meeting at the Westin Hotel at 6 in the morning. So I go down there and I'm at this great big board table and my agent, I'm in the middle, and the riser, and they're going back and forth. And I basically go, I said to my agent, I said, Larry, enough. Riser, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. Go trade me. I get up and I walk out. Riser chases me down the hall. And there might have been a few F-bombs going on by this time. And I said, I'm not going to play for you again. So just trade me.
Yeah.
I'm done. And then I leave. I go to the dressing room. I'm just sitting there. And I'm a pretty jubilant guy. I'm pretty sociable, right? Anyway, we sitting there. Guys are like, what's going on? And I said, well, I just had the biggest FU fight with my general manager. You guys wouldn't even believe this if I told you. And they're like, holy shit, what the heck's going on? And then Dave King got wind of it. So Dave kicks me off the ice, go home and get some rest. We're playing. We got a game tomorrow. And then Dave King goes up into the general manager's office. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You get my goalie out of bed at 6 in the morning. He's got to play the next day. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
You leave him alone. And I think Dave King called the ownership or something like that. And I get a call from Doc Seaman from Hawaii and also Harley Hotchkiss. I think he was in Hawaii too. He said, Bernie, don't worry. The contract's going to get done. And the contract eventually did get done.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was the biggest FU fight I've ever had with an individual ever in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I had lost it. And Larry Kelly was so funny. He calls me up. He goes, that is the best thing I ever seen in my life. That is priceless.
Yeah. He's not even concerned for you. He's like, that was meant for entertainment value.
It's all going to be fine.
This is great made it. For TV stuff, man. It'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, it could have been on Slapshot, that one.
But, I mean, you think about that. You think about, you know, what Vernie did for this organization, the franchise, the city, you know, community, charity, everything. And you go, you get treated that way. That's what, you know, nails you in the end, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's, you know, I'm glad I played in Calgary.
Yeah.
I'm glad I had a chance to play elsewhere, too.
For sure.
But it's great. And look, we got, there's about 11 guys from the Stanley Cup team in 89 that live here.
Yeah.
Like, Calgary's a great city. So
unbelievable.
I'm proud of it. And obviously, so are the other guys that have played here and live here. And the alumni does a lot of work in the community, and they're awesome. Guys like Patter and Otz and Lanny,
a lot of crew that does a ton of stuff.
It's unbelievable what they do. So,
but it's amazing when, you know, when you're in the city, and especially you got guys who grew up in the city, how, you know, stuff spreads around, and they go, can you do this? Can you do that? And you go, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Well,
it takes some time out of your career. Right now, I got all my kids out of my house, so I got a lot more
for now.
Time on my hands, right?
Yeah,
And I don't have any grandchildren like Patter does and things like that. But it's these guys do a great job. I come in and I fly in and out once in a while and things like that. But I probably should do a lot more. And the boys are pushing me a little bit, giving me a little nudge. Yeah. But
well, you're a big wheel in this city, man.
Well, you know what dogs do to wheels.
What do they do?
Well, there you have it. Our second episode of the Cumming and Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles is also our second episode featuring Hockey Hall of Famer and two-time Stanley Cup champion, Calgary Flames legend and Calgary legend, Mike Vernon. What a great chat with Mike, Colin Patterson, and of course your ringleader and your bus driver, Brent Cron. Great job, boys. And The shows are just going to keep on getting better. Lanny McDonald's in the queue coming up. Theo Fleury, Dana Merzen, Tim Hunter, Ron Stern, and we're just going to keep on rolling through them. Thanks for hanging out with us as we start to wrap it up. This has been the Cumming & Gillespie LLP Flames Alumni Chronicles. Cumming & Gillespie LLP, personal injury and medical practice lawyers committed to getting maximum compensation for the injured and their families. Visit CummingGillespie.com. My name is Pat Steinberg. You can get this program wherever you get your podcasts on the Flames Talk podcast feed. And we will talk to you next time.